Happy Friday, Tappers. Let's go. It is another edition of the Daily Tap. It, like I said, Friday, July 6th. Well, I had a second there, needed to think. It's still getting up a little bit. Late podcast for me, actually, but here nor there. Murph is going to be in the building this afternoon. We are going to be doing 80 tapping the keg on Saturday morning, the first ever tapping the keg on a weekend. So looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to you guys being members of the SnowTap community, whether that's Facebook, whether that's Twitter, whether that is Instagram. You can follow on any of those channels. You can also subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, whatever your preference is to listen to your podcast. Excited to talk to you guys. We have a few things in the hopper. The first being a very interesting article from CBS Sports' Tom Fornelli. Tom Fornelli is a great follow on Twitter, not just college football, kind of talks about it all. He's a fun guy, has Twitter tips for gambling. I mean, just a few other things. He's really good. He's a guy like that I started following a couple months ago. I should have been doing a long time ago. Tom wrote an article basically outlining the best teams ever for each Big Ten school. And he caused a lot of stir with Wisconsin because he said last year's Wisconsin team was the best team that Wisconsin has ever had. Fornelli explained that, you know, the Badgers defense was suffocating. They won by a margin of 21.5 points. They only lost to an Ohio State team that, oh, by the way, you know, went to the college football playoff. I believe they did. Yeah. But anyways, you know, it wasn't like the Badgers lost to a scrub team. They lost to a legitimate, no, they didn't. Yeah, they did. Then they lost to a legitimate team. There was a legitimacy about who they lost to. And then the Badgers went on and beat Miami. So the idea of that is, you know, I think really where you get down to it is a lot of people would have the recency bias or the nostalgia bias to say, well, I mean, you know, the 2011 Badger team who came within, you know, a few Hail Marys from being a national championship contender with Russell Wilson, J.J. Watt. I mean, there are big names on that team. You also have the idea of the Badger teams that won Rose Bowls. You have the Badger teams that were damn close. I mean, who can forget the Badger team that should have been in the BCS that ended up having to go to the Capital One Bowl because the BCS had a rule that you could only have two teams in at a time and everything like that. And then the Badgers played Auburn, a team that also could have been in the BCS, and people thought the Badgers had no shot and they beat Auburn. I'm not saying that's the best team ever. There's flaws, there's things to poke holes in. And I kind of get Fornelli's point because if you watch that Badger team last year, It was like they were unstoppable. And I get that they had a really bad schedule. I think that's the other thing people point out. Like, hey, they didn't really play anybody. Well, it didn't matter. I mean, what they did to Iowa at home after a big win, and they beat Iowa 38-14 to me. The two touchdowns for Iowa were two interception returns by Josh Jackson, who's now a Green Bay Packer. But, you know, it's like, I mean, they absolutely killed that Iowa team. They destroyed that Iowa team. They, you know, took it all the way up to the, you know, Big Ten championship game. And the fact that I think the other thing that people get in their craw about or get upset about is the fact that the national media didn't really respect Wisconsin. But I feel like this year is kind of the year that it's going to sort of change, if you will. Because, oh, by the way, Wisconsin brings back almost this entire team, especially their offense. And they were really, really good. They're going to start out as a preseason top 10, if not preseason top 5. The hype around Wisconsin is very real this year. They have a much more difficult schedule. But at the same time, the hype is so strong. Bill Connolly mentioned that in his SB Nation piece about Wisconsin yesterday, which was perfect timing to, if you pair those two, he does make a case. And the fact that Alex Hornibrook was not maybe the Badger favorite. I mean, there's a lot of other quarterbacks that I think Badger fans have enjoyed, but I tell everybody this, especially the true diehards, it's like, you guys are going to love Alex Hornibrook this year. I've been on the record to saying that I think Alex Hornibrook's going to have a massive season. And I really do believe that. And I really believe that Wisconsin, you know, Jonathan Taylor could win the Heisman. I mean, the sky is the limit. Sure, they have some defense. They need some work on defense. But Jim Leonard showed himself as one of a premier defensive coordinator, and it didn't take that long. I trust that Jim Leonard can do it. Now, we'll see. Maybe when you have younger pieces, it won't be able to work. But I do think that this Badger team is legit, and I think they have a very good chance at playing for the national championship this year. I think this is kind of the year. I mean, I think they'll have other opportunities. I think Graham Mertz is a fan to Mets. I think it's Mets. Graham Mertz is a fantastic quarterback, and he will definitely have a chance to, you know, if the hype is real and he is that good, he's going to make everybody around him better, and he's going to give them maybe another shot in a few years. Polquist is building a powerhouse at Wisconsin. And if you do not see that Polquist is building a powerhouse in Wisconsin, you've missed the boat. You don't see what's going on there. So I really think that the Badgers are in a good direction. I know that a lot of people would say that maybe that isn't the best team ever, and I know that there are countless examples of Rose Bowl teams or teams that have lost in the Rose Bowl that could be there, but at the end of the day, I really think you look at what that team did from just statistical standpoint, it's pretty damn impressive. And it's a hard thing, but I think when we look back, if Fornelli wrote this in 2028, I think everyone would agree. And who knows, maybe there's a team that will supplant the 2017 Badgers. Moving on to the Milwaukee Brewers. The Milwaukee Brewers entered in a game against Atlanta. I would say they had a good series against the Twins. They win three straight. The fact is the Twins they caught the Twins at a great time. And you wondered maybe how it was going to go against a very good Atlanta team. And it started off rocky. Atlanta puts two on the board very early against Julius Chacin. And then the flip done script, Brewers get four runs in the second. They tack on three more in the eighth and win 7-2 in a very impressive victory for Milwaukee. The Brewers definitely got on the right foot. They've seemed to be doing this a lot in these four-game series, is winning the first one. We'll see if the trend continues on the second one. I'm very skeptical about tonight's game, but we'll get to that later. But yes, great performance by Julius Chacin. I've said before that Chacin's one of the best pitchers on this Brewers team this year. He continues to impress. You know, he struggled right away and then just sort of got into a groove and was fine. He ended up striking out eight batters. He was, you know, they have so much left-handed ability with Markakis and Freeman and Inciarte and Albies, where you worry with a guy like Chacin, who's had very much trouble against left-handers, and yet he did just fine. Not a big deal. That first inning was a little bit of a hiccup, but other than that, it was smooth sailing. Gave the Brewers seven innings on a game where they needed it, because Josh Hader was down for today. Corey Knebel was also down. Dan Jennings, you know, has not been, stellar, but he was great pitching two straight innings. Jeremy Jeffries not even needed out of the bullpen, so you have another rest day for him. It was all good. Hernan Perez obviously was a difference maker with three hits, including a home run in the eighth inning. Hernan Perez while he's not a Brewer Twitter favorite, he's not a Charlie Trischler favorite, he continues to produce. He continues to have moments here and there, and that home run was fantastic. That was a huge lift for this team and a huge just sort of knockout blow to Atlanta. Christian Yelich, obviously, with the double that got it to five, and then Perez added it, driving in Yelich. So the Brewers continue. I mean, they get a half game up on the Cubs. That's always a good sign. But tonight is fun. Tonight's a lot of fun, but tonight's going to be difficult. You have Freddy Peralta, which we'll see how Freddy does after a kind of a rough start against that at Cincinnati. And this is probably the best team that Freddy Peralta will face. And then you have Mark Foltynewicz on the mound for Atlanta. Fulty has been fantastic for the Braves. He's been just a strikeout machine. He's been one of the best pitchers in baseball this season, definitely an all-star contender. And Brewers have had some difficulties in the past against Foltynewicz. Definitely one of those pitchers that Milwaukee struggles with from a strikeout perspective. And not out of the question to think that he couldn't get 9 to 12 strikeouts today, because he's a damn good pitcher. He's a damn good pitcher, and it's gonna be a challenge. But if the Brewers can, you know, figure out a way and keep it close, and Peralta's all right against a very tough Braves order, should be great. We'll see. This is definitely a true test for Freddy Peralta. I think some people want to ask themselves, is Freddy Peralta legit? And this is a very good barometer to see if Freddy Peralta has the ability to be a, you know, I'd say ace-like pitcher. Moving on to Summerfest. So Summerfest is on the last stages. They have the last weekend here. Once again, I don't think your boy is going to make it out to Summerfest this year. It's crazy. I've talked about it on the podcast every day. Yet I didn't make it out, and I'm really okay with it. It's not a huge deal, but it's definitely worth talking about, because I feel like every day it's like, oh, it's performing. Like, do you want to go to Summerfest? And then so it's I'm doing it for you guys. I'm doing it for you. I'm doing it if you guys are there, but you don't know who to see. And if I was going tonight, you know I'd be seeing OAR. So OAR is in the building. They're playing at the Briggs backyard. It's a great night, actually. There's a lot of great artists this evening, but OAR would be my choice because I just have a nostalgic thing for OAR. I've seen OAR probably 5 to 6 times in my life. I loved OAR as a kid. They were just sort of a band that I grew up on, and I think a lot of people my age could say that, because, you know, it's like, and some people shit on it, like, oh yeah, well, how many times you got to hear a crazy game of poker? I get it, but like, there's so much more to OAR's music catalog than Crazy Game of Poker. They have some deep cuts. They have some really good songs, and I'm trying to think, like, I should have been more prepared. I'm kind of doing, you know, I should have had like a Mount Rushmore of my top 4 OAR songs. I might have to think about this. But off the top of my head, I would definitely say Heard the World live at Madison Square Garden. So that's a very, very good distinction is one of them. Oh, man. Mr. Brown, for sure. Untitled. And About an Hour Ago. Hey Girl's way up there. I didn't want to be that basic of a bitch and go with Hey Girl, but Hey Girl is way up there as well. I would say that would be off the top of my head. I'll have to do a little more thinking. I'll get back to you and think through that. Other acts that are definitely worth seeing: Janelle Monáe at the BMO Harris Bradley Center, or BMO Harris Pavilion. Janelle Monáe had put out a great album this year. She would be a lot of fun in concert. You also have the Flaming Lips, who are in the building, and you have Michael Franti and Spearhead, who I didn't know were a thing. I thought Michael Franti just sort of was like, hey, I'll do it today, and I'll come back for another day. Oh, and Borns is at, Borns and Judah the Lion are at Millerite Oasis. Also very good. Borns has some bangers, a lot of good stuff there. So yeah, this is, I think I said Thursday was really strong. This is just as strong as Thursday. Definitely a day to sort of go see a little bit of everything with the artist if you end up at Summerfest. It's going to be a beautiful night. Actually, a little chilly compared to the last few nights. So, should be a good one. All right, guys. Well, take care. We will talk to you again tomorrow with Murph and Mitch. I'm sure we'll do sort of a deep dive on NBA free agency, recap what happened last night at the Brewer game, recap what happened yesterday out in Milwaukee, look at, you know, all other things, and just kind of do a full deep dive. So I look forward to talking with those guys, and we should have a lot of fun. So SnowTap WI is where you can find us, all the channels, subscribe on iTunes, Twitter, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher. I do it every time. I swear it's Stitcher, Twitter, whatever. But take care, guys. Have yourselves a great Friday. See you tomorrow. Bye.